chapter number 5 this evening, Galatians chapter number 5. And I want to share some. I do have a handout, but I'm going to wait just a minute before I give them out to you. And I want to read we'll let you stay seated because I want to read a rather lengthy section of Scripture in Galatians chapter number 5. And God just put this on my heart to share with you this evening. Goes alongside of what we've been focusing on Sunday night, seeking God's holiness, seeking to walk in holiness, walking in His presence. Galatians chapter number 5. And I think this really zeroes in on the heart of the whole issue. Let's just read the verses if you follow along with me. And again, you can remain seated. We're going to start in verse number 13 and read through the end of Galatians chapter number 5. Thank you, hon, for helping out there. Verse number 13, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty." I love that word, liberty. I love the way it's used in the Bible, not the way it's used by many people today. Not only in Christianity, but even in America, how we use that word liberty is completely wrong. And biblically, that word, and I always think of it, the simple definition is freedom with responsibility. You take the responsibility out, you have no liberty. Walk in liberty. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." This is a verse Todd shared tonight. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Now, if you're familiar with, I need to not get sidetracked, but I'm sorry. These rabbits keep jumping up and I can't help but see them. But the word "if," when you see it in the Bible, it's interesting when you do word studies like I like to do, you'll find out that the word "if" and "when" are really the same words. Like they're trying to decide if it's which word fits. And really, when you see the word "if," put "when" in there. And sometimes it adds something to the understanding. But "when ye bite and devour," because we all do, "one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And we mentioned that verse last week in our study last Sunday night. "And if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now that's not talking about salvation. It's talking about walking in His Lordship, walking in His presence today. "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." One of the things that's always been a struggle for me as I look around in Christianity and really look at myself is the pettiness and the childishness of Christianity in our world today. It is astounding how Christians act like little two-year-olds, isn't it? Especially when I started pastoring and realized adults, some people in leadership positions do things that I wouldn't let my little children do at home, but you just kind of have to put up with it. And sometimes preachers are just as guilty. And I want to encourage you as we do this little study, and it's going to have to be very brief. I'm going to give you something to take home. I haven't handed it out yet. I gave it to a couple of men yesterday, but I had to tweak it a little bit. I still saw another mistake on there. I want to encourage you to only look inwardly and upwardly. Don't look horizontally, because that's what the devil wants you to do. And you're going to lose the entire purpose of this text that we just read. If you're looking at others, comparing yourself with others, Paul says you're not wise. I don't know how many of you, and I know some folks mention a movie once in a while. Have you seen this Christian movie? And to be quite honest with you, I'm not generally a fan of Christian movies because they're not really that Christian oftentimes. But there's one that when we're out visiting our son-in-law and daughter, they mentioned a Christian movie, and we sit down and watch them once in a while. And to be honest, most of the time it's a disappointment. But they pulled up one and we watched it, and I thought, wow. And I don't know how many of you have ever heard of it. I've never heard of it till last week. I think it's been around for a little bit. I'm not even sure. I don't follow that kind of stuff. But the movie is called The Forge. Anybody ever heard of that? The Forge? Have you guys seen it? And again, I don't generally follow these, but I thought, wow. That is probably, and of course there's some things that you just got to put up with in modern Christianity. But I thought they hit on the two principles that are most lacking in Christianity today. And that is, first of all, women that pray. Well, if we had women that prayed instead of yacked about everything. And then men that are real and honest and humble. That would bring revival right there. And I'm encouraging you, and I was thinking of this text because we've been looking at it with the men. This is what we need. To be quite honest with you, the older I get, my wife reminds me that I'm like my dad. She did today. The more you realize how much foolishness, the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, it's still in us today, has been driven out completely. And the carnality and the worldliness that we see in our world today. So with that, I'm going to give you something to take home tonight. Now, we're going to very quickly go over this, and we're going to go over these 18 words, the works of the flesh. And then the 9 words, the fruit of the Spirit. And just very briefly touch on them. I've done a little word study on them, and I'm going to give you just a very brief definition and tell you how to use it. It's more of a worksheet to take home, to keep in your prayer list, to keep in your Bible as you talk to the Lord throughout the week. And I want to first of all look at the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh, as I mentioned in Galatians chapter number 5. Look again at verse number 19. As you're getting those, don't pay attention to the paper yet. Look at the text in the scripture again. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 19. The works of the flesh. Let me ask you to do something. Take your two fingers like this and pinch yourself in the wrist. Does that hurt? Huh? Does that hurt? Don't pinch it. Are you pinching Cindy or are you pinching yourself? You're pinching each other. Oh, that's why the smile instead of the... You're still in the flesh. Well, I'm not in the flesh. Oh, yeah, we are. We still live in this flesh. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. Now, wait a minute. Uncleanness, lasciviousness. I'm not sure what that is, but it sure sounds bad. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. There's quite a list there, isn't it? The works of the flesh. Let me mention this, and I put some simple thoughts on your paper, and I'll add a few things to this as we go through it. The works of the flesh, we need to remember that my heart, still of flesh, is capable of committing the most unspeakable sins. And most of us would look at this and say, well, I'd never do that. Let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Because we're still made out of the same flesh. This is where my sin nature, my flesh, will lead me if it's not controlled by my soul. My soul is my mind, my emotions, all that's within me. If I don't keep this flesh under control, that's exactly where it's going to go. And better than my being controlled by my soul, being disciplined, having character, is letting the Spirit of God take control of my soul, which would in turn take control of my flesh. And there's a key to Christian liberty, living the life that God intends us to live right there, which is what liberty is all about. Not the freedom to go do whatever we want to, but being responsible to God and letting Him be in control. And it says that the works of the flesh are manifest. I want you to see that phrase there. They are manifest. They're revealed and made known. What that means, if what was in my heart were to grow and to blossom, this is exactly what it would look like. By the way, it's there. It's just not blossoming. These are the works of my flesh. This is the end result or the full harvest of what is in my heart if it were to go unchecked. Well, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I wouldn't do that. You're still living in the flesh. When the flower is in full bloom for everyone to see, the harvest or the harvest of corruption, we will reap if we sow to the flesh. We will reap corruption if we sow to the flesh. Galatians chapter number 6 talks about, in fact, let's look at Galatians chapter number 6. Some interesting things here, and again, this is a whole other message, but I want to at least read the verses. Galatians 6, verse number 1, brethren, again, speaking to Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, they've given way to the works of the flesh. Ye which are spiritual, controlled by the Spirit, restore such a one with a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. There's a key phrase there. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let me tell you, the easiest person in this world to deceive is ourself. When we think that we got it figured out, we don't have a clue. But let every man prove his own work. In other words, compare ourselves to God, is what he's saying there. And then ye shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The works of the flesh are manifest. They're made known. Some of you may have noticed downstairs, and I do this every year, since I have a place to grow things and a bigger patch to grow things. I used to do it with just some plants around the building here and things. But I've got some starter plants going downstairs. Now, if you look in there, you think, what in the world is this? Most people probably wouldn't know what's in those pots. I know because I planted them and I took a picture of them with the seeds, so I know what's coming up. But I can tell most of the things that are popping up. Well, those are marigolds, those are watermelons, those are cantaloupe, and those are zinnias and different things that I have planted down there. But a lot of folks, they could be this tall and they still don't know what they are. Is that going to be corn or is that going to be a tomato? I'm not sure yet. And a lot of folks probably wouldn't know until somebody picks a fruit and gives you a bite of it. Now I know what it is. Now it's obvious to everybody what it is. But what we need to do is be able to identify things when they're just a seedling. In the spiritual sense. Now, let me just very quickly go over, and this is just the simplest definition I could come up with. You probably come up with a better definition. I don't know. And some of these words are, when we read through the list, well, that's kind of the same thing as the other one, but when you study them out, you'll find out that they're far different in meaning. They might overlap a little bit, but they're emphasizing something completely different. Let me just go over them. This is what is in my heart. And we're just going to mention these things. First of all, adultery, an intimate relationship with someone who is married to another. Not only a sexual relationship, but also an emotional relationship. That's a very dangerous one there. A social relationship that gets a little bit too social, I guess I could say. Or spirituality. We're depending upon someone outside of our marriage partner for our spiritual walk, that can be a very dangerous thing. Having a right relationship with each other. Each one of these could be a whole sermon. I'm going to try not to do chase any rabbits with this. Just give you the definition to move on. Fornication is a physical relationship with anyone you are not married to, including incest, sodomy, bestiality. Incest got in there twice somehow. A pedophile. All those things are a part of fornication, which used to be, when I was a teenager, you'd read those and go, what in the world is that? But now you hear it in the news all the time, what that is. Uncleanness, that is sexual impurity, through pornography, through lustful thoughts that are piped into our brain, through the music, entertainment industry. Everything in our world is constantly bombarding us with uncleanness. It's a pollution of the soul. That's why we're to protect our ears, protect our eyes. Sometimes you got to walk through this world with blinders on. Because that goes directly into your soul. And it's hard to unsee some things once you've seen them. It's hard to unhear things once you've heard them. Uncleanness. And then lasciviousness. That's a fun word to say, isn't it? It sounds like some kind of candy. Oh, that's licorice. Never mind. And a lasciviousness or licentiousness. Well, that helps a lot, doesn't it? It is a sexual excess. We live in a culture that is obsessed with sex. That is used in advertising, used for everything today. It's unrestrained, lustful passions. Do whatever you want. Unbridled and shameless lust. It's the very base carnality. People with no restraints morally. And then idolatry. Well, that's carving a little statue. That's putting anything or anyone between myself and God. Let me tell you, there's a lot of good things in life that become our idols. A lot of things that God gives us become our idols very easily. And we are deceived by that many times. And then witchcraft. It's interesting, or sorcery, sometimes referred to. It comes from the Greek word pharmakei. What's that sound like? I got a call from the pharmakei today. that's when my wife called me, like your dad. But anyways, too much information. Never mind. The influence or being under the influence of any spiritual power other than God, the Holy Spirit. Being controlled. You understand when somebody's, and we use witchcraft as referring to drug abuse. They're controlled by something that is outside of them. That's the word witchcraft. They say, well, I don't have a problem with that. Oh, how many things control us that are outside? You ever do something that, whoa, did I really do that? Hatred, having a personal hatred or hostility towards anyone. Well, bless God, I don't hate anybody. I just don't talk to so-and-so. You know, that's one of the silliest things I see. I get along with everybody except for so-and-so and, whatever. Having a personal hatred or hostility. We'll love everybody except for so-and-so. You know, we put different people in different classes. Well, you're somebody I love, you're somebody I like, you're somebody I hate, you're somebody whatever. Doesn't God say to love everyone, even your enemy? Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Let's go on. We don't want to step on too many toes. We're just looking at the definitions here. This is what God says in our flesh. Variance, contentions, having a quarrel, a debate or strife or discord, wrangling. I just like that word. I like the Wrangler jeans too. Wrangling over something. Just kind of, you know, people sometimes their first response, whoa, chill out, dude. Having that contentious attitude, debate. And by the way, we make a lot about debate. Well, we ought to debate. No, we ought not to debate. We ought to discuss things. There's a big difference between debating and discussing things. We're good at debating in our culture today. That's how we decide who we're going to vote for. We let them debate once. Why don't they discuss things? That would be more civil, and that would make sense. But we used to do that. Look up the word debate sometime in the Bible and see where it's listed and see what God has to say about that word debate. But that's another subject. That really is the same word that's translated variance here. Emulations, that's jealousies. It's interesting, that comes from the Greek word zealous, zealot. We are charged, we have this zeal for something. The same root word, emulation, jealousies, having our mind or emotions stirred. In this particular sense, and seeking harm or ill toward another. Something just get us fired up and zeal, zealous. Emulations. That just makes my blood boil. And then wrath. That's heated. That leads to the next one. Interesting. The connection here of these two words. Wrath. Heated, boiling, or burning with passion. When we lose control. Well, I just lost it. we're good at that, aren't we? And we're real good at justifying it. Well, they deserved it. I just had to let it loose. I just had to tell you what I think. And yeah, but when we tell it with a spirit of wrath, it does far more harm than good. It's good to communicate, good to discuss, but not debate. It's good to share differences and talk things out. But when we come with a heart of wrath and heated, and we have to explode because the heat, we come to that boiling point, which really that word has the idea of heat being overheated, we reach the boiling point where we explode. That's the work of the flesh. And then strife, selfish ambitions, partisanship, having factions. It's us against them attitude. You don't see that in our world today, do you? It's us against them. It's the Republicans against the Democrats. It's the conservatives against the liberals. I was just sharing with somebody yesterday, I don't watch the news because I'm not going to buy either one of their products. Now, I watch the news, and truth is, I watch a little bit from both sides and realize both of them are lying. I know some folks are addicted to the conservative news. Some folks are addicted to the liberal news. Neither one's telling you the truth, but they're selling you a product. I'm not going to buy their product. But all of it's doing is dividing folks. There is the greatest danger of social media right there in the instant news media today. The division that it is causing because of the works of our flesh, the strife. It's us against them. Well, all those guys, who are those guys? Hey, I'm one of those guys. We're all, it's amazing. It's like, look at Todd, the Chevy against the Ford guys, the Toyota against the Nissan. We talked about the month of Nissan this morning. Don't they have a month of Toyota? They ought to. It's that divide. I'm right and you're wrong attitude. That's the next one, actually. Seditions, divisions, ultra-separatists. I'm right and you're wrong. I've seen some of the most ridiculous things in Christianity because we believe this and that, and if you're not completely, I've always laughed at the terms that used to be popular. I'm thankful I don't hear it much anymore. the second degree and third degree separation. I'm not sure what that is, but people have got that all defined. I'm still looking for it in the Bible. But all the things that folks get so hung up on today to cause division. And then let's go on. Heresies. Choosing to follow a man-made rule, the laws and doctrines and policy. And we see that in our world when they talk about, well, this is my truth. That might be your truth, but this is my truth. And what we've done, and again, I'm not necessarily looking at the world, I'm asking us to look at ourselves. Whether we realize it or not, we have created a God in our own image and in our own liking. Not our likeness, but our liking. God, if you don't do what I want you to do, there must be something wrong with you. That is heresy. God may choose, in fact, God usually does choose a path that we would have never chosen on our own. But we're good at creating a God. I believe with all my heart, or in my heart of hearts, or in my heart of hearts, sir. Triple dog, gone dare you or something. I don't know. Well, I just believe. And we created, this is what I see as the truth. This is what will do it. And then the envyings, acting on our own jealousies, saying or doing harmful things when opportunity arises. Some folks are good. I regret to this day, and yesterday would have been my mom's 98th birthday. I only remembered it because I called my brother for his birthday. It's my mom's birthday. This is 30 years older than my brother. But I'll always regret something harsh that I said to my mother when I was a teenager because I was envious of someone. Now, some folks do that, and it doesn't even bother them. They just brush it off, and it's just a part of their life. But I think of that whenever I think of the word envy. When opportunity arrives, I'm going to say what I should have not said. In fact, it just came out because it was a sin that had blossomed in my life. And then murders. It's talking about manslaughter. The natural digression of anger. Physical, spiritual, emotional, social slaughter. I'm going to tear people down. I'm going to destroy their character. And of course, all this is in the name of spirituality because we know we're right and we got to make them look bad so everybody sees them as the bad guy. And then drunkenness. Interesting, again, the Greek word, and I never really studied the connection out here. I just thought it was interesting. Methe. Doesn't that sound like something? What's one of the drugs that folks are addicted to today? Drunkenness and intoxication under the influence of something outside of ourselves. Now, God uses drunkenness in a positive way. God talks about drunkenness in many negative ways. Some folks are drunk with anger. You know, you just can't talk to them until they cool off for a while. You've got to put them in a holding cell for a while. Just kind of let them simmer down. Just calm down, Jacob. Jacob needs to be the bouncer sometimes. If folks are getting... and raging, and it's, whoa, just cool it, dude. Drunkenness, not only to do with alcohol, but and then revelings, carousing, indulging in lustful pleasures late into the evening. One commentator I was reading from the 1800s was talking about the sin of being up after sunset, and nothing good happens after dark. And I'm not saying everybody that I decided years ago I'm going to make myself a morning person just so I could become more productive. But that's not to say you're unproductive if you're a late evening person. I was just talking actually to my brother whose birthday was yesterday. Last conversation I had with him. We were talking about how they get going on a project that at bedtime and then get done at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and they're still going at 100%, not even realize what time is it. But they're accomplishing things. But sometimes it's easy to say that. Anyway, we'll just go on. The reveling, carousing, but when you're just up doing nothing, just lounging around is the most popular thing for teenagers tonight. Sit in front of the idiot box or play a video game. late in the hours, oftentimes on Sunday morning, why couldn't you come to Sunday school? Well, I was up all night doing what? Done foolishness. That's a totally different thing. That would fit into revelings. But in such alike, everything that goes with the above lifestyle is what we could. That's number 18 on the list. That's not something specific, but everything that branches off of those, all the little plants that bloom up or grow up around that, all those other things, these are the works of the flesh. Now again, this is who I am. If I were to go unbridled, unchecked, that's exactly where each one of us would go. What the key is realizing that's starting. That's real in my life. Don't ever say, oh, I could never do that. Oh, yeah, we could. We could if we're allowed to grow, if we allow it to grow, if we justify it, if we even sometimes water it and prune it and encourage it to grow and justify it in every way we can. And, well, that's just the way I am. Yeah, that is just the way I am. That's the problem. Well, that's the way I was raised. Yeah, that's the problem. And that's who I am. That's who I've always been. Yeah, that's the problem. That is my flesh, the works of the flesh. And then, on the other extreme, the fruit of the Spirit. Notice it is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Read again the verses with me in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. You're familiar with these, I always say these fruits, but it's the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I say they're singular because they're equally joined together by God's grace. You cannot have one without having the other. Well, I'm good in this area, but not in that area. I need work in this area. No, you're missing the whole point. It's that when you're focusing on it that way, it becomes a work of the flesh. It's the fruit of the Spirit. God works all these things together. This is God's grace working in us. This is walking in liberty, walking in the Spirit, walking the way God intends us to walk. And only Jesus, only in Jesus can we see the perfect fullness of the Spirit. There's no man, no woman that we can ever say they've got perfect love. They've got perfect joy. They've got perfect peace. And even a greater fool would say, well, I've got perfect peace. I've got perfect love. I've got perfect joy. That's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. Now, I know some of you think I am, but no. No, we think Ben is. No. None of us are at that point. But that is a work of God's grace. That's the direction God leads us when we learn to walk in His Spirit, to die to the flesh that we might walk in His Spirit. These are only achieved by being controlled by the Spirit. I mentioned that word liberty. God talks about in this chapter, actually not in this chapter, it's the same idea of being filled with the Spirit, or being baptized with the Spirit, immersed in the Spirit. I know there's some controversy about that word. I just think the word baptized means immersed everywhere you see it in the Bible. Immersed in the Spirit, controlled completely under the influence of the Spirit of God. And this chapter talks about walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, or living in the Spirit. Now, it's easy for us to be self-righteous here. It's easy for us to, and again, I focus, look inwardly and upwardly. Don't look outwardly, because you can always say, well, I'm doing better than so-and-so, right? I'm not, well, I was over there, but now I'm over here. No, don't look that way. Look upwardly. Compare ourselves to Jesus and Him alone. And I guarantee you, every time, God will bring us down to our knees. And we will see not only the works of the flesh, but our failing in the work of the Spirit. And then, let's look at them very quickly. And this is just a simple definition of them. You know, the RU ministry, and many of us have gone through these definitions. These are not the RU definitions, though they were good. These are just ones that I come up with. I like to define words, but I purposely don't hang on to that definition. I just look at it again. That caused me to study it again every time I look at it, and to make sure I get it confirmed in my mind. And the word love is a sacrificial giving of ourselves with no thought or reward. Aren't you glad for God's love for us? He loved us while we were yet sinners. He loves us while we spit in His face. He loves us when we nail Him to the cross. He loves us when we despise Him. Well, I'd never do that. Every time we sin, that's exactly what we do. And yet, He loves us. Doesn't matter if we love Him back. Some will go, well, I don't love you anymore because you're not loving me. God's love doesn't work that way. Thankful for His love. And again, when we compare ourselves to His love, if we compare ourselves to ourselves or others, we look pretty good. But when we compare ourselves to God, we don't even begin to come close. And then joy. Cheerful, rejoicing, no matter what my circumstances. Ever have a bad day before? Oh, so-and-so did this and just ruined my whole, upset my apple cart. It doesn't matter. I don't have an apple cart and upset it anyways. Upset your Toyota. If you didn't do this, I would. Joy doesn't depend upon that. The happiness does. Happiness depends on what's happening. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord causes us to sing and rejoice. I love that verse that Linda quoted at the beginning of the service that talks about many shall see and hear. And He's put a new song in my heart, a joy of singing and rejoicing and gladness. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are. The joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the absence of conflict in my soul. Notice the conflict is in my soul. Peace with God and peace with others. No, when you talk about peace in the world, like, you know, Barbie wants world peace and Miss America, you know, they all want world peace. And peace is, well, there's no more war. Well, there's always going to be war. There's always going to be conflict. But there doesn't have to be conflict in my soul. And I can be completely at peace with God and with others around me, even though they're our enemy. And even though they cast stones and do whatever they want to, it doesn't matter. And long suffering. If you say that right, you got the definition right there. Long suffering. Patiently enduring. Slow to avenge or retaliate. Now, some of us are blessed and cursed that we're by nature slow to respond to things. So, but don't let that be confused with the fruit of the Spirit, of being patient and long-suffering with others. Because even though we're slow to respond to sometimes that wrath comes up very quickly. It just doesn't come out as quickly as it does with other people. Like with Peter. It just takes a little while to stew and get it, but it's very real inside to be long-suffering, to be gentle. Gentleness is compassion, tender kindness. Like oftentimes that word is translated kindness, loving kindness in the Bible, gentleness. Aren't you glad Jesus was kind to the woman and taken in adultery? He was kind. To those that hated Him, He was kind. Yes, He had to stand for truth a few times. And He is truth. But He was kind to individuals. And goodness, moral fidelity from a clean heart. Again, I'm not going into great detail of the definitions. Faith, all faith. We talk much about faith. We sing of faith. The just shall live by faith. Did you know faith is one of the fruit, is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? Our faith comes from God. It's not something we muster up. In fact, all these are not something we muster up on our own. It's a result of walking with Jesus. Meekness is a mild and humble spirit. I came across this definition somewhere a long time ago, and I think of it every time I see that meekness. When you think of the meekness of Christ, Christ was strong enough to submit. You know, if I was going to the cross like Jesus had to go to the cross, I would not have taken what he took. But he's much stronger than me. He was meek. He was, though he could, I love the song, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. But he died alone. He was strong enough to die alone instead of retail. There's meekness right there in Christ. And then temperance. If you look up the word temperance in any dictionary, the first definition you'll see, the simplest definition, is self-control. But it's more than that as used in the Bible. It is spirit control. You see, if it's self-control, it's a work of my flesh. It's me doing the work. But when it's temperance, it's me surrendering, submitting to the Holy Spirit and letting Him control my thoughts, my actions, my reactions. Now, what I would encourage you to do, and I just gave you this list, and I didn't go into detail that I could have with each one of them. I want you to use this as a part of your prayer list. And this is something I really desired to go through with all the men, if we could ever get all the men to meet. In fact, I thought, man, it'd be good if we could meet on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening or something and just go over these things and be honest and real with it. I believe that, in fact, I know God would be pleased and God would be honored, and we would no doubt see revival if we could really take these things with men and women and just be real and honest with each other. But long before we can be real and honest with each other, we've got to be real and honest with God. And I encourage you, if nothing else, to be real and honest with God and look through this list every day. Make it a part of your prayer list. And a part of it is this. Find a Bible character. As you read through the Bible, you look at this list every day, and listen, you might even come up with different things with a definition. This is just my simple definition and a little simple study that I've done. I like to study different words in the Bible. But find a Bible character that demonstrates each of the works of the flesh. And I said a Bible character on purpose. Don't find a coworker or a church member or a neighbor or a family member that demonstrates that. Find a Bible, because the Bible was written by who? God put it there for a reason. Because God wrote some things about that character that maybe people in their day never saw about them. But God saw it. And what God records is much more important. In fact, if God were to record some things about us, it would probably be things that you and I don't see about ourselves or others. Look at a Bible character. All these things were written for our own samples. We might learn from them, both negative and positive. Of course, the fruit of the Spirit, every one of them, is Jesus Christ. He's the main character. He is the greatest of all of them. But you'll find, again, a Bible character that demonstrates. Now, automatically, oh, well, that's my mama. That's my wife. That's my whatever. Look for a Bible character and look to Jesus rather than looking around us. And even worse yet, don't look at yourself. Well, I'm pretty good in that area. God records their character for us to compare, to show us some things about ourselves. And then again, focus on yourself, not on others. God gave these to us to help us to see what's in our heart. And a lot of times we use it, this is what you need to work on. No, this is what I need to work on. This is what I need to guard in my heart. You know, sometimes over the years, different people have come to me and said, Pastor, I want you to help me out. Maybe they've gone to a conference or even teenagers at a camp, Or they've listened to a message from a guest preacher or somebody and they said, Pastor, I want you to help me in this area. If you ever see one of these characters growing in me, one of these qualities in me, I want you to point it out to me. Well, that sounds good. I said, hey, what a great idea that is. But let me tell you what that really means. Yeah, I thought of this yesterday. I went out to the farm to find something to spray weeds around here. And when I went out there, I saw a coyote. What? A coyote? Yeah, it was sitting right next to where I pulled in. But it was the nastiest, mangy looking coyote I have ever seen. It was more bald than covered. It stood there long enough. I took a picture and said that the Jacob, I said, is this one of your friends? I saw Jacob pulling in. Said, do you know this guy? I thought he might have got one of Jacob's treats that he puts out for wild animals or something. And I thought, that thing might be a rabbit. I don't know what it is. And some folks are nervous about coyotes. Coyotes live all around you. You just don't see them normally. But there's obviously something wrong with this one. It was out in broad daylight, just kind of wandering around, looking at me, and I thought, I ain't going to go over and pet that thing. I ain't going to kick that dog. And I say that because when someone says, I want you to point this out to me, and then they blow up in front of everybody. I ain't going to kick that dog. I ain't going near that. That ain't going to help nothing. And if you try to point it, remember you told me, and that don't work either. Remember you told me, if I ever see this in you to point it out, well, I done pointed it out. Well, you just done murdered me too. I'd never do that. And that's just the reality of it. So I want to encourage you, focus. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Don't trust in other people to do the work that the Holy Spirit will do. If you will allow Him to point things out to you, He will do a pretty good, thorough job of doing it if you're attentive to Him. And I want you to look at these things every day and to consider them. Am I living by the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? What is evident in my life? Not focusing on anybody else but myself. And then I want to encourage you to do this. And I'm encouraged when I ask for memory verses of folks who are pulling out their 3x5 card, that folks are doing that. That is a key to living the Christian life, is memorizing Scripture and meditating on Scripture. If you're not doing that, you're really never going to get very far in your Christian walk and walking in the Spirit. I want you to, as you read the Bible, God will point out verses that fit into one of these categories. And it just so happens that that verse that kind of pops out at you that fits into one of those categories, that's where the Holy Spirit's directing your attention to. This is something that, I hate to say it, but yeah, that hurts, but it was needful. And write that verse in a little card or keep that with you. Memorize, meditate on that verse, and let the Holy Spirit begin to transform your life and begin to change you from within. The works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Are we walking in the flesh or in the Spirit? We've been focusing on that. I've been focusing on that a lot in my own life. And it is one of the most humbling exercises you'll ever do in your Christian walk, is let God show you how much of our life we justify that's works of the flesh, or we just kind of get over things and work our way through things and accomplish things on our own rather than letting God change us from within. God, change us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. Show me what's in my heart. You are all-knowing. You see things that I could never see. You see things that others could not see. I'm going to ask you to see.